Welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita. Discover your way home. You know, one thing that is constant in life is there will always be change. And changes could be buying or selling a home, the loss of a loved one, marriage, divorce, it goes on. But when you find yourself on a new path, whether planned or unexpected, what you know is home is shaken or shattered. So this is clear. How you process a change will impact the trajectory of your life. Moving Forward for Life with Rosita starts now. Hi, and welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. I'm Rosita, your discovery coach and realtor, and I partner with my clients to help them find their way home, whether that's a physical home or the home in them. Today, our topic is winning in the current real estate market. And today we have a returning guest, Christina Smith.
Hello.
Hi. Christina is a longtime realtor, like
20 plus years.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to give any specifics. And she is basically a lifelong resident here in San Diego. So her parents had a company in real estate. She's been in it forever.
Yeah.
And so I just want to welcome her today. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. So get ready to take notes. And let's get started, Christina. You want to share anything about yourself other than what's in your bio?
I mean, I've, like you said, been a realtor for 20 plus years. I started when I was 19. My mom, you know, got me into it under the guise of, as she did with all my other siblings, like, hey, you can help me out with my real estate business. And then got my license and I was ready to go. And she was like, oh no, real estate's a hassle. You got to get your own clients. So now everyone's in real estate and I can't get any clients from my family. So...
I forgot to tell you about that part.
Yeah. But I've learned a lot from them and being in the business, in the real estate business, a lot of what you know is based off of personal experience. And it's, you really, if you're going to learn real estate, you have to be practicing real estate to learn it.
Yeah. Because there's no other way. Life is the best experience.
Yeah.
And each client is completely different.
Exactly.
It's not a cookie cutter. I always get tickled when people say, hey, I'm getting ready to retire. And, you know, I just want to do a kickback job. So what's it like being a realtor? And I thought,
not kickback. That's for sure. Nope.
Yeah. Because the perception is we just go out, network, party, meet people.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be so great if that's what this business was all about?
Let's throw the fairy dust on it and let it, the realtor fairy dust, and let it happen.
Yeah. Once in a while you get one where you're like, you show them one house and they're like, this is the one. And you're like, really? And then it closes in 18 days and you're like, there were no issues. You know, you're just confused. It's confusing when something goes right in this line of work.
Right. And so, you know, this is a great time to share what you were talking about, one of your podcasts.
Oh, the real estate is crazy.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You got to watch your podcast. It is absolutely true to life because these stories cannot be made up.
You can't. Really, what it was, the inspiration for the podcast was the fact that I was watching one of the millionaire listing shows, and I think it was Josh Flagg, and he was getting a massage while he was talking to another realtor making a deal close. And I was like, that is just not what happens in our line of work. And people think this is the reality. And then they're like, oh, he made $300,000. Right. And the public connects massage with $300,000 and real estate. Yeah. And that's not the reality of our business.
Right.
So I started Real Estate is Crazy as a way for not just realtors, but like vendors and people in this industry to share the craziest stories that have happened to them. And it really teaches you how realtors navigate these challenges that like are completely unexpected for our clients.
Right.
And it's a big dose of reality. So yeah I would check it out. We got some crazy stories on there.
So let's get into it, because this market, you were on the podcast when the market just shifted.
Yeah.
When the interest rates blasted up and then the buyer pool went decreased so much. Yeah. But there's, you know, and the inventory was still tight, right? But
yes,
I mean, there's still sales going on.
So
talk about where it's at right now.
I'm very excited because my buyer clients are actually winning the deal, where like I spent a good almost 2 years really unable to get my clients under contract because they didn't have, you know, $100,000 over asking, and they weren't able to waive appraisals and waive inspections and do all these things.
Right.
So the market has really shifted on both sides. And so I think that the sellers before were just focused on the net proceeds, whoever was the highest bid, right? And now there's a real focus on what are my needs as a seller beyond the net. The net is important, but I'm moving out of state. I need a rent back. You know, I need a quick closing. So I'm finding that when I speak to the listing agent and really find out the needs of their client, I'm able to get my client's offer accepted with asking for closing costs and things like that, which was unheard of before.
Right, right. And I think that, so while we're on the topic of sellers, I mean, I think it's super important that they understand the market has shifted. It's not the dream market that we had during COVID, where you could ask for anything, get it, get, you know, $100,000 over the appraisal price, you know, all that. It's not that market anymore.
No, it's not.
It's super important that they, I mean, we educate them on where the market is at, and that they price according to what's currently going on in the market. Because what I'm seeing is that there's a lot of adjustments in the price. I'm going to put it like that, right?
Yes, price adjustments.
$50,000 down, or, you know, a decrease of $100,000 in the higher price homes. So it's important, I think, that, you know, us realtors educate the sellers to let them know what the actual, or not actual, but the current market value is for their home, according to the market stats, and understand what they need, like you were saying, you know, the rent back, the whatever else that they would need.
Yeah. And I think also understanding as a realtor who's taking a listing that this shift has been difficult for our clients who are selling to grasp onto. It's disappointing because they feel like they missed the boat, when the actuality of this is that they haven't missed the boat. This is actually a good time, because it was almost impossible for people before to sell and buy, because All right, it's easy for you to sell, but can you even find a property? A lot of people moved in with family. They had to wait a year, then prices went up. So then they were paying more money. They were still struggling to get their offer accepted. Some people had to rent. Then the rental market went crazy and there weren't enough rentals for people. Now it's a balanced market, which means it's possible for you to not just buy, but simultaneously buy and transition into the next home smoothly, which is far less stressful for people. So yeah. I really love a balanced market where there's like a little give and a little take.
Right. Because now there's a means to move into another place, where before it was like
impossible.
Okay. I got the price I wanted, but really you're spending it all in renting another place.
Yes. And that's just money down the drain.
Yeah. So this is a better market for everybody, I think. But because of the higher interest rates, that poses a challenge to a lot of buyers.
It does, because you then need to adjust down your price point. But whenever that happens, you also start to see values start to adjust down. So it balances out. You might be selling your home for less than you would have 5 months ago, but you're also buying your home for less than you would have 5 months ago. And you're not competing with as many people, so you're more likely to get a credit. The last two deals I closed for buyers, they've gotten credits towards their closing costs. So that's been extremely helpful for them.
Oh, yeah. Every penny counts.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been talking to a couple lenders and they said there are other options for buyers right now. And of course, that's up to the buyer. You have the fixed rate loan. Then you also have the ARM where it adjusts after a number of years where you can get into a home. You know, the ARM loan, the adjusted rate mortgage helps. But, you know, that is truly a personal choice for the buyer.
It is. It's definitely a personal choice. And having a lender who's going to educate them on what that means for the long term is extremely important. I'm a traditional person. I like fixed, solid, steady. So even though there are these options, you just need to weigh them side by side and make the best decision for you and your family and not be emotional about it. Because you know, you gotta buy for the long term. As much as people want to predict what the market's going to do, I've heard a lot about like, oh, the bubble's going to burst and the market's going to crash. I have people that said that 6 years ago. You know, we are never going to have the level of adjustment that we had when, you know, back in 2008, 2009. That was all about lending guidelines. We don't have those issues anymore. Lending guidelines are very, very strict now. So you're just not going to see that kind of adjustment. When interest rates go up, prices go down.
Right. And it's all, people have equity in their house now.
Yeah.
Where back then in 2008, when the market did crash, everybody that had to sell was underwater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's quite a different market, you know, even with the COVID situation and people lost their jobs or, you know, was on furlough or whatever, they were able because the market kept adjusting to higher and higher values. So they didn't have to foreclose.
Right.
Very, very different market.
Yeah.
But you touched upon the whole renting, right? So I want to touch upon that a little bit because I did some research on prices to rent in San Diego for just 3-bedroom, 2-bath. That's just mm-hmm. And so houses go from a low rent from a low. The low point is $3,095 up to $13K. Of course, you're in Hawaii. Of course, you're across the street from the beach with that kind of rental price. And then townhomes are the low is $3,500 to rent up to $7K and condos $3,640 up to about $3,800 to rent.
Yeah.
And if you buy, then you're talking about, let's just say you qualify for a loan of $450K at 5.5% with a 3.5% down of $16,000. Your estimated payment is $3,137.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the difference between renting and buying then is quite sufficient. And a lot of buyers get, of course, scared for the 3.5% down. Apparently, you know, if you are paying rent of $3,500 and up, you can afford the monthly mortgage payment. It's just the down, I think, that people get kind of worried about. Now, what suggestions do you have to get that down payment?
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do. So there are some low down payment options. There's 3% conventional. There's 3.5% FHA. If you've ever served in the military, there are, you know, 0% down VA. You can receive a gift from family members. If someone wants to provide a gift, you can tap into a 401k. Sorry, I had some people in the background. You can tap into a 401k and there are different, you know, options for that. I think you can do it interest-free or you can pay it back over time.
Right.
There are all these questions that you can ask your lender on different ways that you can build up a down payment. And, you know, once you start thinking about wanting to buy a home, I always recommend reviewing everything that you've spent money on for the last 6 months to a year. I actually did this for myself because I wasn't really paying attention to how much I was spending. You know, we're on the go all the time, you grab food. When I started reviewing my budget, I realized I was spending $600 to $800 a month on fast food and eating out.
Wow. Yeah, we just don't because we're so fast-paced nowadays.
I mean, even when, you know, I have kids I have to pick up from school and they're like, oh, we're hungry, and you go get something from Jack in the Box, you're looking at an average of $15 to $20
Right.
just for something quick. So, you know, you can imagine what would a difference of $500 putting away in your savings account every month do. And then you start reassessing what you're spending on insurance. You know, start quoting different insurance companies, seeing if you can get a competitive rate and getting that payment lower. Just review everything in your finances, see if it's something you need, subscriptions, things like that, because all of those things start to add up, and all of that money could be saving towards a down payment.
Right. But there are so many options to do it. And if the estimated mortgage payment is the same or close to what you are renting, you're really throwing away money because you're essentially paying the mortgage payment for your landlord and building their equity. So why not build
100%.
your own?
Exactly. And especially now, if you can buy and perhaps get your closing costs covered, you know, there's a balancing act with that too. So sometimes when I have a situation where my clients only have the money for the down payment, they really don't have enough to cover all the closing costs. There are lender credit options that you can look at, or getting a credit from the seller to cover the closing costs. And if I know, let's say something's priced at 700,000, and I know that there's a recent sold and a little wiggle room to come up to 710 and ask for 10,000 towards closing costs, there's a balancing act there. It has to be good for the buyer and it has to be good for the seller. So if you're going to go in and ask, you know, 680 and ask for closing costs, that's probably not going to work. You're probably going to irritate the seller and the agent, and they're going to just tell you to kick rocks and get out of here.
Right.
But if you are interested in buying for the long term and coming up with something that's fair, that you're happy with, fulfills your needs and fulfills the seller's needs, you can definitely make something work.
Yeah, it's all about being able to cooperate and know exactly what your needs are, whether you are a buyer or seller, and going in with that, making that clear. So especially to yourself, making it clear to yourself so you don't go, I really like the house. Yeah, $300 more a month is not going to hurt, but it really will. So
Yeah.
you end up being house poor, you know, and you got the
Yes.
house, but now you're house poor. So there's a lot that goes into buying a home.
Well, having a budget is extremely important, but understand or knowing how that new budget will feel if you're paying $3,000 in rent, and then you're going to a mortgage that even if you can afford it, even if you can afford it just fine and it's 4,000 a month, that extra $1,000 hit might hurt. And you don't want to figure that out after you've bought the home. So I always recommend people take that $1,000 while we're searching for properties, put it aside, put it in a savings account, and just see how it feels not having access to that money. And if you can't do it, because keep in mind, banks don't factor in things like gas, food, utilities, child expenses, entertainment expenses. Hey, if traveling is a huge priority to you and your partner, you
Right.
know, not having access to that money might hurt your lifestyle in the long run.
Right. They always say, you know, that you have a budget, but then you look at homes that are either 10 to 20% lower than your budget. So you have a little bit of a pad, right?
Right.
If you need to go up, then you can. But if you search for right at your budget, say your budget's 600, 700,000, you search for homes in that budget, then you don't have any, you don't have a pad. Then
Exactly.
you're stressing because you love the house. Of course, you're going to love the house at a higher price point,
Yeah.
but is it going to serve you and your family?
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's also a possibility of using the escalation clause, right? To make your offer stand out and maybe beat out the other two or five offers that are on the table.
I'm going to be honest. I've heard of the escalation clause. I have never used an escalation clause. So, I don't know how I can recommend it. Nowadays, I find that just calling the agent and, you know, most of the time they'll give me some hints on like what's going on with the offer. And then I won't need one. But in a competing market, I've heard of people being like, we will do $1,000 above the highest offer.
Right.
And then getting their offer accepted that way.
Right, right. It makes the buyer stand out a little bit. Like, yeah, my offer may not be what you're looking for, but whatever your highest offer is that you receive, then I'm going to go above X amount of dollars, you know, 5, 10, whatever the amount is over the highest offer that you receive. I think that really puts it out there in terms of, hey, I really want this house, but I'm not going to go over this price. So both sides have boundaries, right? Yes, the seller has a higher offer and the buyer can give higher to a certain limit.
One of the things that I found that I feel has changed in our industry, and you tell me if you think this is true, but back in the day, people wanted to hire a realtor who was like a shark, cutthroat. You know what I mean? Nowadays, that doesn't work because no realtor wants to work with another realtor like that. No. So I would say, and one of the offers that I got accepted, there were two offers on the table. And the reason ours got accepted was because the listing agent said the other agent was being a jerk. And I was so friendly. I was so approachable. I called when, you know, I answered my phone when he called. That he was like, you're going to be so easy to work with. And, you know, that's what we want to go with. So this idea that picking an agent that is cutthroat, emotional, like, you know, that's going to actually hinder your offer. If you're wondering why maybe your offers aren't getting accepted, you might need to consider who you're working with.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And I've been in that situation too, where they say, oh my gosh, I had a higher offer, but the person was just ridiculously hard to communicate with, or I couldn't get in contact with them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we just couldn't come to an agreement. So I'm going to take your offer because it seems like you would be cooperative and communicative.
Oh yeah. It's so important, especially when challenges come up, that you have a real estate agent, that a realtor that's calm, collected, knows how to navigate those challenges and navigate those with all parties involved. You can't have a realtor that's going to call the other agent completely freaking out and being rude because nothing's going to get solved. People get emotional, the walls go up and they go, just cancel. And then the deal's done and nobody's happy. So who you work with really does matter.
Absolutely. And I can vouch for Christina. That she's super knowledgeable. It goes over and above what normal realtors do and is, you know, handholds really a lot of times her clients. I mean, it's so important, like she said, to work with a realtor that you can trust. It'll alleviate so much stress because buying or selling a home inherently is a lot of stress.
And same thing with you. I mean, you're just so nurturing and like calm and sweet and like caring towards your clients. But it is so important. And, you know, you and I, we have a great relationship together. So whenever there's a situation where there's, you know, like a divorce situation, where one partner wants, you know, the three referrals for three different agents, Rosita, you're always on my list because I know that no matter who they go with, they're going to be taken care of. And that's extremely important.
Yeah. And same for you. We just got into that situation.
We did.
So this is, I think we're coming close to our end, even though we had a couple of bloopers in between. But anyway, thank you so much, Christina.
You're welcome.
Guest again. And how can people get in contact with you? Not just you, but also the Real Estate Stories podcast that you have?
So you can search Real Estate is Crazy on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. It's doing really well on TikTok, believe it or not, Facebook, just at Real Estate is Crazy. And then if you have a crazy story that's a real estate story to tell, I'd love to have you on the show. And you can reach me at 858-334-9422.
Who would have a crazy real estate story?
People have crazy real estate stories too. Just their experiences with other realtors. You know, you just like never know what's going to happen in this business.
Right. Or with other buyers or sellers, right?
Yeah.
I do have another one that we could talk about later. But
okay.
As always, my desire is to bring awareness and let you know that you are not alone. Whether you're buying a home or searching out who you are, we partner with you to navigate your path so you can move forward for life, in a life that you desire. Remember, the trajectory of your life is within your reach and it is your choice. So I just want to remind you to subscribe to my YouTube channel where I have all the podcast videos at Rosita Sells Homes. Until we see you next time, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for listening to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. Through my own personal healing journey, I've come out stronger and braver. I know firsthand how hard, how lonely, and heartbreaking it is to continually live in pain. As we work together, you will discover the good, the bad, and the not so pretty parts of yourself so you can uncover the fabulous in you. Discover what you need to come home, whether that's a physical home or the home in you. Join me every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.